Before I begin the Bible lesson this morning, I want to share something with you that I saw in a bulletin at the church I was visiting a couple weeks ago. And the bulletin said, Sunday service is 11 to 12. And in parentheses it said, but don't expect to leave to 12:15.
Where was this?
Or 12:30. Well, there's cookies and coffee later.
Right. I'd ask you to open your pew Bibles this morning as we begin our readings from the Old Testament. You'll find that on page 259. We'll be reading from 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 13. 259, 1 Samuel 16 through 16, verses 1 through 13. It's entitled, David Anointed as King. The Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king of Israel, over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, and for I have provided for him myself a king among his sons. Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do, and you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you. Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, do you come peacefully? He said, peacefully I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked upon Eliab and thought, surely the Lord anointed is now before the Lord. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance, on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen any of these. Samuel said to Jesse, are all of your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for he will not sit down until he comes here. He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, had beautiful eyes, and was handsome. The Lord said, rise and anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David. From that day forward, Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. Our second reading is our epistle lesson. It is found on page 194 of the New Testament. It's Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 8 through 14. Ephesians, 5th chapter, verses 8 through 14. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, sleeper, awake. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. How often we see things differently than God. Now, sometimes that's a good thing, because you and I look at a person and we see only their past with us. If they've hurt us, or if they've crossed us, or if they've been duplicitous, we see only the hurt that they've left with us. when we see someone who's out there doing a lot of good things in the community for people, with people, we see only what they're doing. We don't know what the motive is. We don't know what was prompting the person to act negatively towards you. Maybe there's some hurt. Maybe there's some anger. Maybe there's some fear that's driving them. We don't know what the motive is behind the person that's doing good. Are they doing it to be puffed up? But God does know. When you read that piece from Samuel, we know that what? God, one, spoke to Samuel. I mean, he spoke to Samuel through that whole search for this new king. Because Saul had fallen from grace. Saul, whom man had selected for king. David, who God selected and had Samuel anoint. And he wasn't the best looking. He wasn't the most handsome. He wasn't the tallest. He wasn't the strongest. But there's a key piece in that. What was David doing? He was keeping what? He was keeping what? What was Peter told on the bank of the river or bank of the lake when Jesus came to him and they prepared a breakfast? And he said, "Do you love me?" "Yes." "Feed my sheep. Care for my sheep." Interesting that God is so focused on sheep. And aren't we like sheep? So like sheep. We get into so many problems. As Paul continues with a letter to the Ephesians and Galatians are both fairly brief letters, but they're both very powerful, and they focus us on some of the essentials of Paul's Christology and how he presents it. Now, we've gone through Romans. We went through 4 and 5, and we know that it's faith and faith alone by which we're saved. And faith in whom? Christ Jesus. And it's faith in what Jesus has done for us on the cross, that we're brought into a right relationship with God. Right? Well, now, in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul is speaking to the Ephesians. He says, "For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of the light." Now, what does that mean? Live as children of the light. Open. Honest. Doing things that God wants us to do. Empowered by God. Seeking God in everything that we do. Verse 9, "For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord." That 10th verse. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, where are you going to find what is pleasing to the Lord? If you don't go look in the Word, you're not going to find out what's pleasing to the Lord. And what is the Word? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was with God. And the Word took on flesh and came and dwelt among us. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me." We follow Christ Jesus. If we want to know what God wants us to do, if we want to know how we're supposed to live in the light, then we read and find what Christ told us to do. How Christ has told us to live. Well, then he continues, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible." Any of you think, you've heard the phrase, it's a family secret. Nobody else knows about it. Right. This is a small community, right? How many secrets are there? You may think you have a secret, but your neighbor knows. Your neighbor's neighbor knows. The person down the street knows. They even know in Hartfield. There is no secret. It's exposed. So if you're doing something that is best left in the darkness, leave it there and walk out of the darkness and walk into the light, because it doesn't matter. Everybody knows what you're doing anyway. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Christ is the light. He comes to bring light into our lives, into life itself. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, sleeper, awake, arise from the dead. Christ will shine in you. How many of you have been baptized? Summer. Right. Just slap your dad on the shoulder. He didn't put his hand up. Lee, how many of us have been baptized? Okay. Just seeing if you're paying attention. When we're baptized, what we believe is we're baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're baptized by water, yes. Doesn't matter how much water, a little sprinkling, a little pouring, or a total immersion. Doesn't matter how much, it's by water and the Spirit. Because it's the Spirit that makes us one with Christ. It's the Spirit that cleanses all the deadness that's in our lives. How in the world can you have deadness in your life? Well, if it's of darkness, it's of death. If it's of light, it's of life. We get to do this wonderful thing every first Saturday of the month. And that wonderful thing is, whether it's cold or rainy, or muggy or buggy or what, we get to serve people in our community who are in need. And we do that in a partnership and a fellowship with the Crier Center. What do we give to them? What do we give them? Chuck, what do we take to them? Okay, we take food. What? We give them clothing. Yeah, there's been clothing. What else do we do? Amen.
Encouragement.
But what do we do when there are, is it 11 or 12 families that get the soup? Is it 10 or 11 or 12? Where they actually drive to their homes and they're there. All of that is what? Yes, it is food. Yes, it is love. Yes, it is clothing. But what else is it? You're giving them witness, but you're validating them as humans. I mean, you show them that you care. This is not a... Keep this in mind. This is not a program. This is a ministry. Anybody, any organization can run a program. But with Christ in it, it's a ministry. A ministry is not something that makes me look better. It's something that helps someone else through that power and Holy Spirit. When we look at darkness and we look at light in Ephesians, Paul is telling us that he wants us to be doing the light things, because when we're doing the light things, it's evidence of Christ at work in us. Because if it's Christ in us, and if it's a ministry, it's not going to be about darkness. It's not going to be about death. It's about life and light. First, live as children of life, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And if it's good and right and true, it doesn't just lift you up, it lifts them up. And it doesn't just lift you and them up, it lifts the Holy Spirit up. We're to take no part in unfruitful works of darkness. For everything that becomes visible is light. We do these things in the light of day, in openness, because of love, not because of a hidden agenda. And how do we know what these are? Well, Paul wrote in another letter. He wrote this letter to the Galatians. When we talk about fruits, take no part in unfruitful works, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good. Verse 9. Look at, you turn in your your Bibles, your pew Bibles, to Galatians 5. We're looking at verses 16 through 26. And it's the book right before Ephesians, so it's real easy to find. It's like two pages or three pages in front of the Ephesians piece. This is Galatians 5, 16 through 26. And we're really going to just focus on 19 and 22. Because here's the darkness first. This is what you're not supposed to do. And you can read 19. When you go home, read 19 at home. Because I don't want you to focus on 19. Because those are the things that are darkness that we're not supposed to do. What I want you to do is I want you to look at verse 22. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, which one of those is your strong suit? Love. What?
Kindness.
Nobody's going with gentleness and self-control. Well, we know what happens to get patience. You know, you have to have adversity to get to patience. And that builds patient endurance, and that builds what? Character, and character builds hope. But all of this, Paul is telling us what it is that we shouldn't be doing, but he's also telling us what we should be doing. And it's very important that we focus not so much on the things that we shouldn't be doing, because we pretty much know that anyway. You know, you have that little thing called conscience that says, you ought not to do that. Or conscience is sitting there saying, oh, you're going to love that. Oh, yeah. You really got to go do that. And then the light of day hits it. And what happens to that little demon that's there? Poof. It's like the light of day hits that. And what would your mother think if she knew you were doing there? Well, I know what my dad would do. He'd be, there's a belt or a switch. And it's all out of love. It's going to hurt him a lot worse than it's going to hurt me. Well, Dad, you don't have to do that. But think about this. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good, right, and true. Think about this. So we have Ephesians chapter 5 and Galatians chapter 5. And in each of these, Paul is working on a theme. It's about being in the light. It's about being in Christ. It's about having Christ in you. It's about having Christ be in everything you do. Because in Christ, there is light and life. And there's that, I think there are half a dozen people that said, what's their strong suit? Love. And not just the eros, not just the phileo, the brotherly and the physical love, but agape. The Greek agapeo. And what is that? That is loving your neighbor when your neighbor is anything less than lovable. It is loving your spouse when they have done for the umpteenth time the very thing that they have told you time and time again not to do. But you do it anyway. Now that's love, because there's not a frying pan that gets bent around your 3-pound cranium. Or that's grace, mercy, and love. You know what's really love?